Good morning and welcome to Grace Church. If you're a regular here, then it's great to see you again. If you're not a member, and don't worry, I'm not either, then we're really glad you've joined us. My name is Sarah, I'm a designer, and I lead one of the house churches that's part of Anchor of Hope in Falmouth, just down the road. This summer, we're doing a series through the Lord's Prayer, and we've got to the point where we look at Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. But to remember this in context, we're going to start with a Bible reading.
One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he was finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation."
So I went to a Church of England primary school, and like many Church of England primary schools, we'd say the Lord's Prayer every day, and I found it really boring. I've changed my mind now, but you can't judge five-year-old me. I didn't really know what the words meant. Anyway, every day we would trudge into assembly, drone out the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," again and again, until we realised that we could have a little bit more fun with the Lord's Prayer. And the plan spread around the playground like wildfire. What we were going to do is change the words to the Lord's Prayer. Instead of saying, "Give us this day our daily bread," we were going to say, get this, "Give us this day our daily cake." Yeah, kids aren't that funny. But we thought we were hilarious, and we spent the rest of the day giving each other the look to make sure everyone knew what the plan was, and trying to contain our giggles in case the teachers got suspicious. The next day came, we started the Lord's Prayer in our normal dull way, "Hallowed be thy name." But when we got to the line, "Give us this day our daily cake," 300 kids fell around laughing. And if you know what kids are like when they think they're funny, you'll know just how over-exaggerated and ridiculous we were being. We spent the rest of the day walking around like we'd just come off stage from a killer set at the Apollo, high-fiving each other in congratulations over the joke of the century. We were convinced that no one had ever or would ever be quite as funny as we were right then. With hindsight, we were wrong. We weren't comedic geniuses. In fact, we weren't even original. It turns out that many have undertaken to rewrite the Lord's Prayer for a laugh. In the film The Campaign, which I haven't seen, so this is not a recommendation, Will Ferrell goes for "Give us this day our daily pizza." You can also buy online a pill box saying "Give us this day our daily meds." And there's the Drinker's Prayer, which goes viral every now and again, which asks for our lager in heaven to give us this day our foamy head. Still, other people have rewritten the Lord's Prayer for more serious reasons, to help us understand the meaning behind Jesus' words to a particular people 2,000 years ago whose lifestyle was very different to ours. And because the role of bread is so connected to culture, this line seems to get one of the most radical rewordings. Some Bible translations have rewritten it as, "Give us today the food we need." The Message goes for "Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Another one I found online says, "Provide us today with the things you think we need." And these rewritings are a great way to refresh a very well-worn, repeated prayer and help us understand the application for us. But we mustn't lose sight of the fact that Jesus said bread. He definitely didn't say cake, he didn't say food or meals or needs either. He could have used those words, but he chose bread, admittedly, in the original language. Now, I'm not saying that this means that we should only pray for bread, that God can only provide loaves and rolls and bagels. I think Jesus uses bread as an example of something we need, but that he uses it intentionally, so it's not just interchangeable with other necessary things. If we think back to our reading and imagine the scene, it could seem like the disciples just catch Jesus praying, ask them to teach him and teach them, and he comes up with something off the cuff. Maybe even he spots a loaf out the corner of his eyes and thought, "Oh, I'll use that to help them understand." But if we look at the text, we see a very concise, structured prayer. These are not just some thoughts made up on the spot. It looks like a prayer that Jesus has deliberately constructed to teach the disciples. And he's made it short enough that it could be memorized, but also covering massive ground. With so few words, it looks like poetry. And if you'll remember studying poetry at school, you'll remember every word is carefully chosen and loaded with meaning and symbolism. So the word bread isn't just a chance example, it's very important. And the question I want to explore this morning is why? Why does Jesus use bread to teach us how to pray for our needs? I've been thinking about bread a lot, and I think Jesus' choice of word here is brilliant, because there are properties of bread that can help us to understand how to pray for our needs. And there's three I'd like to look at over the next 15 minutes. Firstly, bread is basic. Secondly, bread is a gift we work for. And lastly, bread is a symbol of our salvation. Firstly, and this is probably stating the obvious, bread is basic. It's an everyday food. On its own, it's nothing exciting. Now this is Cornwall, so I know that some of you are probably thinking, actually Sarah, I buy Baker Tom's artisan organic sourdough spelt loaves, and I think that is pretty special. But let's face it, your bread is fancier than other bread, but it's not actually fancy food. Can you imagine how the judges were reactive on the MasterChef final? Everyone else made creme brulees and reductions, and you just made a loaf of bread. In our culture, as in Jesus' time, bread is everyday food, something we eat regularly, used to fill us up. It's toast when you don't have time to cook, or a side of garlic bread when you have unexpected visitors and need to bulk out the meal. But what does bread being basic teach us about how to pray for our needs? Well, I think Jesus telling us to pray for our daily bread is him encouraging us to pray for even the most mundane things we need, the basic and the boring things we need for our everyday lives. I'll confess, I'm rubbish at doing this, and I think our churches, Western churches in general, aren't great at it either. We pray for big, dramatic things when we clearly need God to intervene, but then we forget the small, repetitive things, especially the things we think we can do for ourselves. So we pray for the job interview, but we don't pray for weekly meetings. We pray for our finances when we can't pay our bills, but after payday, we forget about it. And we pray for our leaders during a crisis, but when things go back to normal, they drop off the prayer list. And I don't know about you, but I think I do this because I've often had a feeling that the everyday things in my life, the bread I need, it's kind of boring to God. Surely he has more important things to do. Aren't I just wasting his time asking for something I can get for myself? But thinking like this is to misunderstand who God is. I have a colleague, and she's one of the smartest people I know. She's a published author with a PhD, and she brought her son into the studio before social distancing. And I listened in as I was working as they had a lengthy conversation about the office fruit bowl. And they're having a great time talking about how bananas are yellow and apples are shiny. Now clearly this conversation is not intellectually stimulating to her. If I went over and said, hey, I know you're busy, but could we just schedule in half an hour to discuss the fruit bowl? She would laugh in my face. But because she loves her son, she was interested in what he wanted to talk about. She loved chatting about fruit with him. And if a human mother can care about what her son cares about, how much more does our Father in heaven care about our everyday lives and the things we need and care about? So that's the first reason why I think Jesus uses bread to teach us how to pray for our needs. To encourage us to bring all our needs, even the most basic and mundane things, to God. And in response to this, I'd like us to take 1 minute to think of the things we'll need for the coming week. And really focus on the stuff you wouldn't normally pray about, the things you think aren't important to God. And you can do this however works for you. Some of us are in our heads and happy to just think about it. Some of us need to write things down, so make a list of those things. And some of us need to chat with other people, so do have a chat with the people around you. But you have 1 minute to think about what you need from God this week, focusing on those really mundane things. Off you go. So we've talked about bread being basic. Next up, bread is a gift that we work for. This might sound contradictory, so give me a sec to explain. There's a lot of work required to make bread. You have to plant wheat, harvest it when it's grown, mill it to make flour, mix that flour with yeast and water, then you knead it, then you bake it, and then you have bread. It's work. You can't just leave some wheat in the corner and expect to come back and find bread. This would have been much more obvious to Jesus's ancient audience because they were doing all that work themselves, but it's still true for us. We have to work to earn money to buy bread. So bread is work, but bread is also a gift. However hard you work, you cannot make bread without the sun and the rain and soil and the laws of thermodynamics, which are all created and sustained by God, regardless of our efforts. And this is really useful when it comes to praying for our needs, because I think Jesus uses this image of bread as gift and as work to help us see God's provision through ordinary things. Sometimes God does miraculously provide. The thing you need comes effortlessly. Like manna, the bread he sent from heaven to feed his people in the desert. But more often, God gives us the gift of this natural world and able bodies so that we can make the bread we need. There's an episode of The Simpsons where the Simpson family have the dad's boss over for dinner, and they're trying to make a good impression, so they ask their son, Bart, to say grace. And he says, "Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing," which doesn't go down well. Bart is thinking in a binary way, that provision is either work or a gift. So if his dad worked to provide the food, it can't be a gift from God. As good Christians, we'd never express ourselves in the same way as Bart. But how often do we think that our prayers haven't been answered because the solution has been ordinary? Taking the tablets, working hard, or just the ordinary people around us? Seeing God's provision as a gift we work for is a challenge for everyone. Most of us are either more comfortable with receiving a gift or working for something, and really uncomfortable with the other thing. I think we'd all kind of fit on a spectrum like this. I hope that lines up for you. So at this end, we've got someone who values receiving but is uncomfortable working. The typical, "I'm going to step out in faith and God will provide" person. And the danger with someone being too far this way is that they miss out. They turn down God's ordinary provision and opportunities to work because they think it shows a lack of faith. Like that story that you hear banded around of the guy trapped on his roof in a flood praying for God to save him but dismissing the boat and the helicopter. On the other end, you've got the person who values working and is uncomfortable receiving. You're kind of everything I have, I've worked for person. But the danger here is they look down on people who don't have as much as them because they think they haven't worked as hard, overlooking the gifts from God that have enabled them to work hard, their family, their education, their age, their ability. And they can also feel really fearful about the future because they think it all depends on their work, and anything might happen to mean that they can't work. I'm sure none of us are at either of these extreme ends, but do you see yourself having a tendency in one of these directions? So this is the second reason why I think Jesus uses bread to teach us how to pray for our needs, to help us see God's provision through ordinary things, even the things we work for. To respond to this point, I'm going to pull up this chart again, and I'd like you to think about where you sit on this spectrum. If you're struggling to figure it out, try asking the people who are around you. They might have more insight than you do. Or ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you sit in this balance between working and receiving. And then if there's time, think about how you can travel more towards the middle and to a good balance between those two things. But you've only got a minute, so the first priority is thinking about where you sit on it. Off you go. We've looked at how bread is basic, how bread is a gift we work for. Lastly, we'll look at how bread is a symbol of our salvation. I've been thinking about how people say the Lord's Prayer. Now, have you noticed that people with normal speaking voices, even normal praying voices, talk quite strangely when they say the Lord's Prayer? There's some that add in unnatural pauses, and I'm guilty. Give us today our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. No one talks like that, do they? Some people, and this is with the old language version, start speaking snake and just hiss out that middle bit. Forgive us our trespasses. Some people feel like the end needs a bit more oomph and go full Shakespearean actor with now and forever. But I've been wondering how Jesus first said these words to his disciples. What do you think? Was he speaking gently, powerfully? Was he projecting, or was it a kind of intimate setup? In my mind, and it is only my imagination, when Jesus gets to the line, give us this day our daily bread, he speaks with a sense of sadness. Because at this stage, he's the only one who knows what bread will come to signify. That in the future, when his followers meet and share bread, they will be doing so to retell the story of his death. And I think that Jesus tells us to pray for bread to remind us of our ultimate need. We need bread, and God cares about that, but bread can only satisfy us for so long. When I've overeaten, I like to loudly declare that I am never eating again. And that commitment usually lasts for 3, maybe 4 hours, because humans need to eat. So if you're starving, bread can keep you alive for a few extra hours, but only for a few extra hours. Ultimately, however much we eat, we will all die. In using bread as his example, I think Jesus wants us to see that so much more than the daily bread for everyday life. We need the communion bread, which points to eternal life. Because when we break and share the communion bread, it's a reminder that on the cross, Jesus defeated death and he rose again. And because he has, we can. As we say sometimes at Easter, dying, he destroyed our death, and rising, he restored our life. And anyone who has faith and receives this bread will join him in this new eternal life. And there, we'll never be hungry again. We won't have to worry about having enough food. We won't be trapped in bodies that deteriorate. We will be safe from death. And here's another reason why bread is a great illustration. Instead of trying to explain his death and resurrection with language and big ideas, Jesus takes bread, breaks it, and says, "This is my body." And it helps us to understand how we receive eternal life. That we can't do anything to earn it, only receive what Jesus has done. And it's really hard for us to get our heads around, because we're not used to getting something for nothing. And we can kind of creep in our thinking into thinking that actually it does matter how good we are, and that maybe we can save ourselves a bit. And then we judge other people, or we beat ourselves up for not being good enough. But communion is this really physical reminder to our bodies that we are all receiving a free gift. Because every time we see bread being broken and hear, "This is Jesus' body broken for you," it doesn't matter how weak your faith is, how many doubts you have, how much you've messed up in the past week, all you have to do is accept that you can't do anything and receive the bread. So that's the last reason why I think Jesus uses bread to teach us to pray for our needs. Because he wants to remind us that our ultimate need is to be saved and to receive that as a gift from him. In response to this, the obvious thing to do is share communion, which I'm told will happen later. But now it'd be good for us to respond to this. There might be some people watching this video who'd like to respond to this gift for the first time. Your life has been about chasing daily bread so far, and you want the communion bread which gives eternal life. So whatever stage we are at, if we've asked for this a million times or this is the first time, let's take a moment to respond to this free gift for God. We'll take a moment in quiet, and then we'll finish up by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So I hope this morning has been helpful. I hope I haven't made you too hungry with all this thinking about bread. And I just encourage you to keep these ideas in your heads when you're praying for your needs, that bread is basic, that bread is a gift that we work for, and bread is a symbol of our salvation as you're praying for your daily bread. It's been great to be with you this morning. See you soon. Bye.